I tell you this story from Joanna Macy, which I have told you before. Joanna Macy worked in India where the Tibetan refugees were sheltering. She had worked with them for some time and had come back to the United States and then went back again. And one of the Tibetan Buddhist monks, one of the leaders of the monks, said he wanted to speak with her. So they had a meeting. And in that meeting, he said, in the old Tibetan prophecy, it says that there will come a time on earth when the forces of destruction seem to be gaining the upper hand, when it looks like the future of the world hangs by a thread. And this, the Tibetan teacher said to Joanna, is the time of the Shambhala warrior. The Shambhala warriors work among the great forces to dismantle them, because the warriors understand that all of the things that are wrong are only wrong because humans have thought them up. They aren't true things. They are things that we can change by changing the thinking. But it takes people who are ready and willing to walk into the storm of the world and bring people out of pain and confusion. And the teacher said to Joanna Macy, now is the time for the Shambhala warriors to go into training. How do they train? Joanna asked. They train in the use of two weapons. Now, this is a man who believes in non-harming, non-violence. And he said weapons. One is compassion, the depth of connection and awareness of pain in the world. The other is the insight into the interdependence of all beings and things. You need compassion because it gives you the fuel, the energy to get out into the world and do what needs to be done. It is how we know that there is pain that must be met. Compassion means not being afraid of the suffering in the world, not being afraid of your own suffering, not being afraid of the suffering around you. And that by itself can be too hot. It can burn you out. It can overwhelm you. And so you need that other tool, the insight that everything is connected, that everything is profoundly connected. The butterfly that might change the course of events. When you have that, then you know that this is not a battle between good guys and bad guys. You know that the line between good and evil runs through the landscape of every human heart. And you know that we are so interwoven that the web of life is in every act, that even the smallest act has repercussions that ripple through the whole web. And the teacher says that awareness can be a little cool, a little abstract. And so we need the heat of compassion and engagement to balance it. He spoke this story to Joanna Macy, and it was clear that he was charging her to be one of these warriors. And as she tells that story, it is clear that she is passing that charge to everyone she talks to. So she passed it to me, and I am passing it to you. Now is the time for us to be ready to walk into the storm of the world. It has always been true, and now it is more clear how true it is. And it may feel too big, and it may feel like it's overreacting. May it be overreacting. I hope that it is. But until we find out that it is, in fact, overreacting, let us train ourselves. Let us be arm in arm in this work to walk into the storm. There are many plans and many ideas, and this is a stage of coming up with the right approach. There will be a lot of bubbling up of what to do and where to go and how to be. Here are some things that I would like to ask us to do. I've talked about these before as well. When we go out into the world, when we talk with anyone, I ask that we not shame each other. And by each other, I mean other beings on the planet. And I'm still using Brené Brown's definition of shame. Shame being the fear that we are not worthy of belonging. There has been so much of that. And every time we shame someone else or dismiss them, we perpetuate the thing in the world that we do not want. And so I ask that you not do that in the world. And you can be terrified and full of anger and full of all kinds of dissatisfaction and keep remembering that we're meeting pain, and the point is to make contact. When I listen to our president-elect, I hear a man who has been deeply shamed. So part of our resistance is to break that cycle. To talk to every being on the planet as if they are worthy of belonging, because they are worthy of belonging. And people are going to do things that they shouldn't do, and we don't have to let them do anything. We can say, no, you can't do that, and maintain connection, which is incredibly difficult, and we'll have to do a lot of training of our hearts and minds to be able to do that. And we can begin to think about what that would look like. It means, of course, practicing compassion for ourselves, allowing ourselves to have all of the reactions that we have. And in the right circles who are ready to listen, it's all right to say whatever you need to say. And then when you meet the world, find that respect and that seeking for connection, because I think part of what has happened is that we have lost the awareness that everything is connected. I had a conversation when I was attending the demonstration in Portsmouth in which I practiced this. It's a longer story, which I'll have to tell you next week. But what I said over and over again is, let's not talk about the candidates anymore. We know that we're all kind of backed into our positions on that, and that we're not going to make progress trying to convince each other about the rightness or wrongness of particular candidates. What I want to know about is what's happening in your life. Tell me about your work. Tell me about your family. And we had a conversation that was completely different. Then it started out as being about who was wrong and why. So I think it's about, tell me about your life. Let's not rehash what has been gone over. Tell me about your life. So I think we do have to train ourselves. We do have to be systematic about how we meet the world now. We have to have practices of meditation, yoga, learn nonviolent interventions, learn how to live with our anxiety and our pain and not necessarily act on that all the time in the sense of blurting things out to people. Learn to focus that into constructive action. That's how the spiritual work and the justice work are the same work. Then we begin to do this thing that's called non-complementary responses, which is when people are coming at us or coming at other people with anger or hatred, instead of meeting them with anger or hatred or shaming, we meet them with something else, with an invitation to connection, with an offer that there's another reality waiting for us if we can go to it. The story that I heard on the radio about this was about the people having a party in the backyard. They were celebrating and enjoying each other, and a man showed up at that party with a gun. Have I told you this story? Backyard, summer, beautiful evening. They're drinking wine and being at ease and happy, and a man walks into the backyard with a gun and says, "Give me your money or use the gun." And they start to tell him, "What would your mother say?" And they try to sort of, yeah. And I think in some way that moment was probably started something in someone's mind, because he said, "I don't have a mother." And then they start to tell him what he was doing was wrong, and things were just escalating. And finally, someone in the group picked up a glass of wine and said, "Would you like some wine?" And the man looked confused for a moment, and then he took the glass. And then he drank some of the wine. And he said, "Oh, that's good wine." And then he drank the wine and he ate some of the food that they also offered him. And then he put the gun in his pocket. And then he said, and this is the most fascinating part, then he said, "Could I get a hug?" Can you imagine, how would you respond to that? They hugged him. Then he wanted everyone to have a group hug. And they did it. And he said, I think I came to the wrong place. And then he left with his gun and his glass of wine. And they found the glass on the front step in the morning, very carefully placed. He came in all aggression and attack. He came in full of pain and loss. Someone figured out how to contact his humanity, and everything changed. (Clears throat) call it Shambhala warriors, call it non-complementary behavior, call it imagining, call it living love out loud. It's what we are called to do now. And this community must become a place where we train ourselves, our hearts, our minds, our bodies, to walk right into the difficulties, to walk right into them and be full of warmth and compassion. It will be hard. It will be terrifying. It is the only thing that makes life worth living.